information is free. There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Yes, yes.
But...
Tonight, we care.
Here to border on the
fence.
The country.
We will remember nine you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
Because the terrorist threat continues, the national emergency must continue on episode 141 of Media Monarchy. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for all the news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, 9/12 updates, drills, and the day after. Obama, Osama, Bush, and the National Emergency State, CFR, Acorn, Rhetoric and Race War, Intel, Raids and Revolution, Yes We Cannabis, and Blockbusted Red Lines, Suspicious Death Tolls of Banksters and Blagojevich, plus Geopolitics, The Onion, and so much more. It's all here. It's September 18th, 2009, episode 141 of MediaMonarchy.com.
When you wish for a thousand places better than this.
Arctic Monkeys, Old Yellow Bricks. And that's how we're kicking off this episode 141 of MediaMonarchy.com. It's September 8th, 2009. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com, as well as FoodWorldOrder.com and CyberspaceWar.com. Just some of the new arms and tentacles in the kingdom of the monarchy. Arctic Monkeys are playing in Portland tonight as part of Music Fest Northwest. And I'm trying to weasel my way into it. I'm trying to get comped. It's the kind of deal where you have to buy the pass to get to the shows and yada yada. But I would have liked to have seen Girl Talk or Explosions in the Sky or Get Up Kids or Sunny Day Real Estate or Bad Brains or Mudhoney. But if you've listened to the show for any amount of time, you know I'm a Britpop fan, and British bands hardly ever play here, much less bands who pretty much play stadiums overseas, and they're going to be playing a 1,000 or so seat venue tonight. And, of course, I post up all my personal media adventures up on Facebook.com/MediaMonarchy, such as my meeting last Sunday with Patton Oswalt, who was in town to do an expensive stand-up show, but he also did a Q&A at Cinema 21 after his new movie, Big Fan, which is excellent. If you get the chance, it's small, but if people talk it up, it might get out there. It's very good. Robert Siegel, I believe is his name. Siegel is the last name. Ex-Onion. He wrote The Wrestler. He wrote and directed Big Fan. So I got a photo and an autograph, and those photos are up on Facebook as well. But I digress about my own personal media adventures. That's not why we're here. We're here for the news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups, more than you'll get in just about any other show. And I gotta say, Media Monarchy is broadcast live, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, thanks to the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. I'm sitting in the seat of the mothership as we speak. Also thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com, as well as 92.3 out in Casper, Wyoming. Right now it's 11 a.m. Mountain Time, and the worldwide home of free speech, RevereRadio.net. Kicking it at 1 p.m. Eastern style. Also thanks to Free Radio Olympia, FROlympia.org. Saturday mornings at 8 Pacific Time, 98.5 The Fro. Thanks to 93.9 BoulderFreeRadio.com, as well as Ground Zero Radio in Canton, Georgia on 87.9. BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net, 104.1 in Berkeley, California. And from right here, from my man Glenn, CascadiaPublicRadio.org. And again, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, YouTube, Yahoo, Gmail, Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, and Archive.org are just most of the ways you can get in touch with me for anything Media Monarchy related. Now, speaking of all those great affiliates, something that's come up, and it hit me again from a good friend who's out in Moab, Utah, who was talking about trying to get me picked up by KZMU.org out in Moab, Utah. But it's the cursing. It's Jimmy's little potty mouth. So that's kind of the wall that I've hit, and it's given me something in a way to think about if I want the show to continue to grow. Should I change how I originally do it? Wild and free? Or should I clean it up? Therefore, getting more play and getting the message out. Minus the F-bombs. I'd love to have my show played back on my old radio station, WSHC, in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. 89.7 FM. F the CC, indeed. If you have any thoughts, let me know. MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. I've run my mouth too much. There's so much to go over and get into in the world of news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Helping you look at the world and try and see the world for the shell game that it is being played before you. And you see it in the city, you go, oh, this looks good. I might be able to win this. Taking a glance at Google News this morning, September 18th, 2009. Israel assembles advanced missile defense systems. This from the Washington Post. And, of course, that ties in with the other missile defense systems we're going to be talking about. We also have, again, Ahmadinejad. Amid large protests, Iran leader calls Holocaust a lie. We also, unfortunately, have a security guard shot dead this morning in an attempted ATM robbery in Dallas. More on audit the Fed and the Federal Reserve and the funny money battle. All that's up on my front page on GoogleNews.com. However, we're going to get to the real front page on MediaMonarchy.com. Change. Can you believe in this? From WhiteHouse.gov. Obama extends Bush 9/11 national emergency. Consistent with Section 202D of the National Emergencies Act 50, United States Code 1622, Section D, I am continuing for 1 year the national emergency declared on September 14, 2001, and Proclamation 7463 with respect to the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, and the continuing and immediate threat of further attacks on the United States. Because the terrorist threat continues, the national emergency declared on September 14, 2001, and the powers and authorities adopted to deal with that emergency must continue in effect beyond September 14, 2009. Therefore, I am continuing in effect for additional year the national emergency the former president declared on September 14, 2001, with respect to the terrorist threat. This notice shall be published in the Federal Register and transmitted to the Congress. Barack Obama, the White House, September 10th, 2009. The day before the 8th anniversary of 9/11, change. Obama extends Bush's national emergency. It is all based on the lies about 9/11. Everything we're doing. Everybody we're killing. Everybody we're torturing. Everyone we're ripping off their land. Securing them away in some secret prison. Not letting anyone see the photos of the things that we're doing to them. The Patriot Act. All of it. It continues. Under the new puppet. Now, of course, I would also direct you to this posting. So you can see the nice little animated GIF of the Bush-Obama morph from one face to the other and back again. It's kind of creepy. During last week's 9/11 anniversary episode of Media Monarchy, episode 140, in addition to the 5.5 hours of new alternative media blasted out for you last week by BeniaMonarchy.com. We had a B-side. We had the anniversary 9/11 episode. We also had a massive 2.5 hour interview with Richard Grove of TragedyAndHope.com. Please check that interview out. Please spread the word about it. I think it really does break a lot of the bigger issues down. But what was happening last week when I was doing my live show, and again, that's why we always keep a Google News page open to see if anything happens, and things, of course, did last week. Now, the mention of the murder of an anti-abortion activist in Michigan, I haven't seen a thing about since last Friday when I was live on the show. However, the other breaking news that happened during the show We're going to get into and so much more on the 9/12 updates, drills, and the day after. It was a 9/11 anniversary scare. Shots reportedly fired, and it was reported by media. But the Coast Guard says the confusion was just a normal training exercise.
We do have breaking news out of Washington, D.C., and we want to update you on this. The U.S. Coast Guard was conducting a training exercise in the Potomac River this morning. That training exercise going on moments before the president and his motorcade crossed a nearby bridge. It caused some concern and apparently a tremendous amount of confusion, but the Coast Guard is confirming that no shots were fired as part of this training exercise. It was simply a training exercise, and you're looking at live pictures there of a Coast Guard boat there on the Potomac River. The president, of course, was traveling through Washington this morning. He was on his way to the Pentagon, where he spoke and took place in the wreath-laying ceremony at the Pentagon Memorial. But again, the Coast Guard and police in D.C. confirming that this was, in fact, a training exercise. Pete Williams joins us now from Washington with more. Pete, I also understand that departures from Reagan National were halted shortly after 10 a.m. as a precaution. Did no one know about this?
The president had just left 9/11 ceremonies at the Pentagon, his motorcade crossing the Potomac River, as a Coast Guard security exercise unfolded on the water below. The drill involved Coast Guard fast boats patrolling a secure zone.
The people seem intent on trying to violate that zone.
Soon, CNN was on the air, reporting the Coast Guard had intercepted a suspicious vessel. The cable network aired a radio transmission, carrying an ominous warning from one of the patrol boats. CNN reported 10 shots had been fired. Other news outlets picked up the story. FBI agents and police who had not been told of the Coast Guard exercise scrambled to the river fearing a 9/11 anniversary attack. Flights at Reagan National Airport were briefly stopped, but there was no attack.
No shots were fired. There was no suspect vessel. There was no criminal activity. This was a pre-planned, normal training exercise.
Coast Guard officials calling it a routine drill saw no need to put other law enforcement in the loop. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs blamed the media for triggering a frenzy, saying before we report things like this, checking would be good. CNN said in a statement two calls to the Coast Guard yielded no confirmation of an incident. But, quote, it would have been irresponsible not to report on what we were hearing and seeing. Media analyst Tom Rosensteel said the cable network made a mistake.
There's never any benefit to being first with something that's wrong. And the net effect over time of this, I think, is damaging to the press.
Coast Guard officials ordered a review of the incident, but refused to apologize for the training they see as essential to homeland defense. Bobby, CBS News, Washington.
With the fallout from a security scare on the anniversary of 9/11, a Coast Guard training exercise on the Potomac River near a memorial ceremony at the Pentagon triggered confusion and some panic when it was reported on television as a potential attack. ABC's Pierre Thomas has more.
Just after 10 a.m., CNN went live with the story as a bulletin.
Breaking news right now happening in the Potomac. The Coast Guard even sent a transmission saying that they've expended 10 rounds of ammunition.
Within minutes, the story was being reported by other media.
This is breaking news from here on September 11th.
Coast Guard then firing, it was a kind of like warning shot.
The FBI and D.C. police raced to the Potomac River. At nearby Reagan National Airport, the FAA grounded all commercial flights. All this as the country remembered 9/11. President Obama had just left the Pentagon, less than a mile away. There was just one problem. CNN had been reacting to video and radio transmissions of a routine training exercise. It sounded real, but it was broadcast before any government official could tell CNN it was all fake.
I want to reemphasize that no shots were fired.
Why schedule such an exercise on 9/11 of all days around the time of memorial service?
We're going to review our own protocols, our own procedures.
A group supporting family members of 9/11 victims was outraged, suggesting the Coast Guard had been insensitive.
What happened today is inexcusable.
In a statement, CNN said it would have been irresponsible not to report what we were seeing and hearing. Frank Sesno is former chief of CNN's Washington Bureau.
There's no way around it. CNN got the information wrong. They got the information wrong because they misinterpreted what they thought was an actual incident.
For Good Morning America, Pierre Thomas, ABC News, Washington.
This was not the kind of thing 9/11 families wanted to see on the 8th anniversary of the attack. a Coast Guard training exercise on the Potomac River, just as President Barack Obama was heading for the Pentagon to help remember the nation's worst terrorist strike. One family group said the exercise caused needless alarm and was the height of irresponsibility. It didn't help that cable TV outlet CNN reported erroneously that shots had been fired. Meantime, Coast Guard officials say they did nothing wrong.
We train every day. We have crews that are highly proficient, and this is a routine exercise. I don't think that our operational commander saw any reason not to train today.
And the White House didn't disagree. Press Secretary Robert Gibbs told reporters he doesn't second-guess law enforcement in trying to keep the nation's capital safe. And he rejected comparisons to April's Air Force One training flyover of New York that cost a White House official his job. In fact, Gibbs was mostly critical of CNN for airing what it heard on Scanner. Said Gibbs, checking would be good. Mark Smith, The Associated Press, The White House.
This story is so important for so many reasons, not the least of which are the drills. This is essentially the conduit through which many of the large-scale terror attacks have happened. The events of 9/11, there were more than a dozen drills, including hijacked airplanes crashing into government building drills. On the morning of 7/7, there were drills involving the same trains and the same buses that blew up. You can see how easily a drill can flip live. If I can just speculate, if it went so far, the media started to report it was really an attack. If shots had been fired, at what point do they say, well, I guess we just have to go with this script that it's an attack, and we'll find some patsy and we'll boot him out there. In this case, it would have been some kind of homegrown errorism, as we've been prepped for. And as you heard them say in the last part of that compilation clip, and I have a whole playlist up on youtube.com/mediamonarchy, military drill causes 9/11 anniversary scare. The White House says they're okay with the Coast Guard exercise, just like they were okay with the Air Force One fiasco in April. And what all this serves to do is further scar the psyche of the public. That's what these drills now are meant to do. Ratchet up the fear, bring back the fear and terror and paranoia from 9/11. And it also gets you desensitized then to see the military doing DUI checks and all the rest of it. We have many more 8th anniversary updates, as again, last week's episode was devoted entirely to 9/11 and the official story and all the points of contention that we have. And if you don't have them, you're not paying attention? Yeah, I think that's it. A long list of updates here on the 9/12 updates, drills, and the day after. From Russia Today, and I'm constantly impressed by the work that RussiaToday.com has been doing. We're going to hit several articles and clips from them in this. First, a report on the progress made by the New York NYC CAN, the accountability, getting a new investigation on the ballot in New York to stop the 9/11 cover-up.
8 years on,
9/11, truth now, 9/11, truth now, 9/11.
American citizens are pounding the streets, still searching for answers.
This movement's never going to stop, never.
The push for another investigation into the September 11th attacks grows larger with each passing year. Manuel Badillo's uncle died when the Twin Towers came down. He believes U.S. leaders had prior knowledge of the impending attacks, but consciously failed to act.
Why is there no justice yet? Why is there no accountability?
Badillo is among roughly 80,000 New Yorkers petitioning for a new impartial probe to answer the questions many believe stand.
state and federal officials are failing to.
The majority of family members don't believe it. The first responders don't believe what they were told by our government. All of these turn out to be lies that we've been told. 60% of the commissioners don't believe the story that they received.
Critics say the 9/11 Commission report, presented as the official version of events, failed to hold a single individual accountable for the numerous warnings leading up to, on, and after September 11th. Ted Walter is the executive director of the NYC Coalition of Accountability Now. His organization is focused on getting a referendum during this November's mayoral election to allow New Yorkers the chance to vote for a new 9/11 investigation.
And we pray and hope, but more than that, we're going to activate to make that happen and to get in touch with the folks that you know in New York that will be able to vote for this. Another great new article from James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. 9/11 truth cannot be stopped. Going into, the resurgence of interest and news surrounding 9/11 because of the anniversary. He breaks down all the things that we know, all the things documented, all the things that fly in the face of the official story, whether it's Sybil Edmonds or the admissions of the 9/11 Commission themselves, that they were set up to fail. Now, again, speaking of this petition, what would a new investigation gain us? If you recall, one of the last times we got a new investigation into a large event, that was JFK and MLK, and that was the, I believe, Assassination Records Review Board, where the last official word from the United States government on the assassination of John F. Kennedy is that it was, quote, probably, unquote, the result of a conspiracy. As Van Jones backpedals, most 9/11 truth signatories stand by their call for a new investigation. That's coming from InfoWars, and that again surrounds the Fuhrer, and this led us into the anniversary. Van Jones, we should thank in a large way for bringing 9/11 truth back to the front page. Literally. But some industrious folks went to the other people on this vaunted petition, and most of them say, hell yeah, I feel the same way. And those are the kind of stories that can't get out. And those are the kind of things such like the family members want the same thing. 9/11 Commission members doubt official story. That's from Old Thinker News. 911 reasons why 9/11 was probably an inside job. Again, from RussiaToday.com. Identity of CIA officer responsible for pre-9/11 failures, Tora Bora escape, rendition to torture revealed. This guy's name is Richard Blee, B-L-E-E. The report comes from historycommons.org, and you can run the search yourself on Richard Blee. We hit a little bit last week, but now we have a follow-up clip from ABC News on that trusted FBI informant who said the FBI threw away their chance to catch Muhammad Atta.
According to Assad, the focus on the undercover stings led the FBI to miss a chance to stop the 9/11 attacks.
Did you think you could have stopped it?
Yes.
No doubt about it in your mind.
13 years work. Did I fail in one case? No.
In early 2001, the FBI sent Assad to infiltrate this small mosque outside Miami. Among the people he says he became suspicious of is the man he would later learn was Muhammad Atta, the 9/11 ringleader, as well as other members of his group.
You saw them?
Yes, and even I prayed in the mosque, the private mosque, and I went to certain private meetings.
And what about them made you suspicious?
It's the instinct you have inside of you. And this is what I'm good at, my job. This is my job. God gave me something, certain gift in me.
Along with Atta at the mosque was another Al-Qaeda figure, Adnan Shkreli, now a fugitive with a $5 million U.S. reward on his head. Shkreli's father ran the mosque, Assad infiltrated.
Shkreli was trying to invite me to his house. to have coffee, to have tea, sorry, tea. But I was there not to do so, not to meet with him, not to be close to him.
Who directed you to leave Shukri Jumala?
To stay away from him? The FBI?
Instead, Assad says he was assigned to set up and sting two of what he calls wannabe terrorists.
Just another data point proving that we had identified many of the hijackers ahead of time, and much like the original World Trade Center bombing in 1993, we decided to let the attack go ahead. Again, all involving informants and supposed watchlisted, flagged terrorists. More updates and an interesting question posed by LAWeekly.com. What would 9/11 be like in the age of social media? During the president's healthcare speech, the shared experience that is the real-time internet reacted to a perfect Twitter fodder event, Joe Wilson's You Lie outburst, with a surprising amount of conversation about the real issue in the room, healthcare reform. This real-time, 24/7 net didn't exist in 01. We had the earliest versions of social media, instant messaging and blogs, but we had nowhere near the household use of many-to-many communication channels like Twitter and text messages. For the most part, we all spent 9/11 watching CNN. And as we've just seen, how trustworthy they are when it comes to drills and terror events. The web in 09 is more about doing rather than watching. What this goes into is what we would have gotten and how things would be different. And that would be, first, video, pictures, and texts from inside the towers. We would be hit with an avalanche of videos, tweets, and pictures from office workers still trying to figure out what was going on. As reader Jim Alden puts it, 9/11 would have been a trending topic for 12 months on Twitter. 8 years ago, people didn't go around carrying a video camera in their pocket, much less an iPhone. Passengers on United 93 used their cell phones to call their friends and family. Oh, which they give a link to debunk911myths.org. So this is decidedly not a truther column. Unless I'm misreading this website. How are they using debunk? Who's debunking what? It doesn't matter. In 2009, Virgin America has Wi-Fi. We would very likely get video clips from iPhoners on board, maybe even a live video stream. We would have more myths, but quicker myth busting, just like the Jeff Goldblum is dead tweets on the day Michael Jackson died. With big news comes fake news. But compared to the persistent rumors that the Pentagon was hit by a missile or that 93 was tailed by a fighter plane that shot it down, we'd have an instant internet response to every rumor and misinformation dispelled by primary sources and citizen journalists on the scene. And fourth, we would have more opinions. And again, they go into CNN. And that again reminds me of who's referred to as the Harley shirt guy on 9/11. The guy who seems like an actor that some have pointed to be a specific actor. Who came out, and if you watch the clip, 9/11 Harley shirt guy, Harley like Harley Davidson. And watch this guy read a script. You know in your gut, it's false. Utah City pays tribute to 9/11 with a citywide emergency drill. New York subways still vulnerable 8 years after 9/11. That's a video by way of ABC and Raw Replay. And interestingly enough, on the 9/11 anniversary, the stock market closed at the exact same level. Aaron Dykes over at InfoWars notes that FDR famously said that, quote, in politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happens, you can bet it was planned that way. AP and Forbes and CNN money all go into it, that essentially the stock market has only hit this number three times in I'm not sure how many, many, many decades. Just like, of course, the New York Lotto on the one-year anniversary of 9/11 being 9-1-1. It's possible. could also be sinister forces. A few more updates, and again, returning to RussiaToday.com, 9/11 family member Manny Badillo, Schools France 24 TV.
Who are you saying is behind the attacks?
Well, that's why this event, this mass murder, this unsolved crime begs for a new investigation. We have to find out what happened. At the very least, there's a grand cover-up. At the very most, this was criminal elements within the United States government and foreign governments and corporate entities that managed to rig those buildings and take them down. This is where the evidence points. The evidence does not point to right, what the U.S. government is trying to condition us to believe.
Can I put it to you, though, that in the last 8 years, there hasn't been a terror attack in the United States? Many people say that the war in Iraq was the wrong thing to do, but that the war in Afghanistan, as President Obama says, is the right theater for the so-called war on terror. Would you not say that the fact that there's been no terror attacks in the last 8 years means that the U.S. administration is, at least now, on the right path?
You know, it could also mean that there was no real threat to begin with. We're in Afghanistan right now, and we're bombing innocent Muslim families. We're demonizing them throughout our media. What we find is, in Afghanistan, not only is there an oil pipeline that's supposed to be built through there, but we find a tremendous wealth of natural resources, including opium fields, okay? Last year had the largest opium crop in the history of Afghanistan, and this is when NATO is there. I mean, what's going on? We know the CIA has been bringing drugs into this country, the United States, for the past 5 decades. So now we have NATO and U.S. forces in control, supposedly, of Afghanistan, but yet the poppy field crop is the largest ever been.
Mr. Badillo, many thanks indeed for joining us. I'm afraid we will have to leave it there. Well, that's it for tonight's focus. We'd like to remind you that any views given by our correspondents or our guests are not, of course, the views of France 24.
Oh, they couldn't wait to get him off of there. And, of course, busted out the disclaimer there at the end. And there he was, Manny Badillo, rocking not only 9/11 truth, but just general political truth. With the drug running and the false flags and all of that. GlobalResearch.ca. Again, sign a petition, join the appeal for truth about 9/11. And one more clip, at least concerning 9/11 and its anniversary. We're going to go into the protest at Ground Zero on the 8th anniversary.
Could it be a revolution? On the anniversary of September 11th, protesters fought to get their message across.
9/11, right? The day of lost power. It's 9/11, the day we lost power. Welcome to America in the darkest hour. Stranglehold this country by our tyrants and cowards.
9/11 truth seekers from all over the U.S. flocked to the streets of New York. Come rain or shine, they say their struggle will never end while Americans continue to be fed lies.
There's no better blindfold than a flood.
They want a new unbiased investigation into the biggest tragedy in modern American history. But critics call them conspiracy theorists and don't want to hear their views.
The tragedy was happening to us, our country. I'm young and I've realized this, so it's weird that all these people, older generations, they're like too in love with their country to realize what they're doing to them.
Authorities didn't allow protesters to use megaphones, but their voice was still very loud and clear.
Do your own research!
They say America's fear-based politics need to end, as well as alleged cover-ups both inside the government and the American mainstream media.
Wake up! While you still can! We can still take it back! If you would only wake up!
This man says he's being wiretapped for his belief that the government orchestrated 9/11 to get into false flag operations.
They surveil people who speak out in this government by tapping their phones. My phones and my emails have been tapped for years.
The 9/11 truth movement says too many things just don't add up.
Two planes, rebuilding, do the math.
Building 7 was not hit by a plane on 9/11, but it still came down like a plastic controlled demolition.
It's been almost 3,000 days since the events of September 11th shook America. The number is symbolic. Over 3,000 people died that day. Since then, these people have been walking out onto the streets demanding answers to the tough questions. They say they still haven't gotten any responses from the government. Some authorities, however, are beginning to wonder.
How do you go back?
and check it out. You know, where do you start? Who do you believe? That's the hardest thing.
8 years gone, many are still struggling to understand what happened on the fateful day.
Two planes brought down three buildings!
But these people say they're not stopping until all of the truth is revealed. Anastasia Chirkina, RT, New York.
Who do you believe? I would say don't believe anybody but yourself and your gut. Or your lying eyes. Oh, but it kept spilling out all through the weekend. But on Sunday, September 13th, 2 days late, and a dollar short, day late and a dollar short, another new message from Osama. Osama reportedly calls Obama powerless as the CIA-linked Intel Center releases another highly suspicious bin Laden tape. More on that from Paul Joseph Watson, but let's just get the straight garbage from the Associated Press. In a tape released Sunday by Al-Qaeda's media wing, terrorist leader Osama bin Laden said President Barack Obama's powerless to stop the war in Afghanistan. Of course he is. He wants to surge it and build it. It's the right war. Site Intelligence Group, S-I-T-E, a terrorist monitoring firm that translated the address, said bin Laden, whose Al-Qaeda organization was behind the September 11th attacks, in case you forgot, blamed the war on the pro-Israel lobby and corporate interests. You lie! Intel Center, another company that monitors terrorist propaganda, said the 11-minute video shows a still picture of bin Laden while audio of the address plays. Bin Laden's address to the American people came 2 days after the 8th anniversary of 9/11. He typically addresses the U.S. in a message around the 9/11 anniversary. But apparently he's just not doing so well. He just can't get his new records out on time. The purpose of his address Sunday, bin Laden said in the site translation, and again, thanks to Rita Katz, we've gone into them and we'll mention a little bit more here in just a moment, but quote, to remind you of the causes of 9/11, chiefly your support to your Israeli allies who occupy our land of Palestine. So even if this guy's real, even if he's still alive, even if he really did 9/11, which of course FBI.gov on his most wanted poster doesn't say anything about 9/11, because they have, quote, no hard evidence connecting him to 9/11. FBI.gov, go read it. If we took all of this as true, he even says, and this is something that Ron Paul would talk about, not being a truther himself. Well, if we just listen to what he said, that's why these things are happening. Bin Laden argued against the claims that the war is necessary for U.S. security, saying current White House officials are merely following the strategy of former President George W. Bush and former Vice President Dick Cheney to, quote, promote the previous policies of fear to market the interests of big companies. When Obama became president and retained many of the Bush administration's military leaders, such as Defense Secretary Gates, reasonable people knew that Obama is a powerless man who will not be able to end the war as he promised. If you end the war, so to it. But if it is otherwise, all we will do is continue the war of attrition against you on all possible axes.
In a tape released just days after the 8th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden describes President Barack Obama as powerless to stop the war in Afghanistan. The tape, which was translated by both the Associated Press and Site Intelligence Group, says the current White House is following the same strategy of former President George W. Bush. Along with direct threats, bin Laden follows an approach he's used in earlier tapes, reaching out to Americans if the U.S. moves to reevaluate its support for Israel. The Al-Qaeda leader, who is believed to be living in the modernist region between Afghanistan and Pakistan, typically addresses the American people in a message timed around September 11th. The tape, which is 11 minutes long, only shows a picture of bin Laden with his voice in the background. Intel Center, a group that monitors terrorist propaganda, says this is the 49th tape released this year by Al-Qaeda's media wing. Brian Thomas, The Associated Press.
I guess his webcam isn't working. He can just do audio slideshow. Flashbacks, suspicious site to release another Bin Laden tape. That's back in November 2007 on MediaMonarchy.com. However, it's worth mentioning yet again, this goes back to September 12th, 2007. Digital forensics expert on Osama video, definite fake. Neil Krawetz, K-R-A-W-E-T-Z of Hector Factor, an expert on digital image forensics, said in one of his latest blogs that the video contained many visuals and audio splices and that all of the modifications were of very low quality. Something he goes on to mention, and I'm not sure if it's in this report, this coming from newsbusters.org after all, but Truth News and Paul Joseph Watson and Prison Planet and InfoWars and all those guys have gone into Neil Krawetz basically saying these videos look cobbled together and the Intel Center logo was laid on the same time the media Al-Qaeda As-Sahab logo was laid on. Looking at the digital overlays, essentially layers, like if you were in Photoshop. For whatever reason, Mr. Neil Krawetz then came out and recanted. Now, how you do a whole interview and blog post and say this whole thing is a bunch of fake garbage and then go, oh, wait, no, it's real. I don't know how one comes to that conclusion without some kind of coercion. From Osama to Obama. Let's get a little bit more change. First, we had, of course, the continuation of the national emergency, which essentially gives the decider-in-chief, whoever it is this 4 years, whatever puppet it is from banksters and the globalists, whether they're funded by conservative Texans and Saudi oil interests or Goldman Sachs bankers, it makes no difference. It's just the mask they wear to fool you every 4 years. And boy, they pulled a fast one this last November. I've been mentioning it as being slick Madison Avenue propaganda, so I'll make the side reference that I've been watching the first season of the much ballyhooed AMC original TV series Mad Men. And it's very well done. It's very classy. The fact that it's not on HBO and that it's not, you know, filled with all the HBO things like cursing and boobies, it gives it a classier feel because it's not stuffed with all that stuff. Not that I have any problem with profanity and boobies. I enjoy them both. All three of them. Slick Madison Avenue propaganda. You're soaking in it. Obama pushes renewal of warrantless spying on Americans. This from Paul Joseph Watson, and we source to Threat Level and the Washington Post and the Associated Press and the Huffington Post and Prison Planet and on and on and on. President Barack Obama has once again betrayed his promise to restore liberties eviscerated by the Bush regime by pushing Congress to renew Patriot Act provisions that allow for warrantless spying on American citizens, even in cases where there is no link to terrorism whatsoever. According to a Wired News report, the Obama administration has told Congress it supports renewing three provisions of the Patriot Act due to expire at the year's end, measures making it easier for the government to spy within the United States. Obama's support for the provision should come as very little surprise because he first voted for warrantless wiretapping of Americans in 08 when he was still an Illinois senator and before Blagojevich tried to sell his Senate seat. More on that later. He was also lending support for immunizing the telecom companies from lawsuits charging them with being complicit in the Bush administration's wiretapping program. One of the provisions Obama's pushing to renew is the so-called lone wolf provision. Enacted in 2004, it allows for the electronic monitoring of an individual without the government having to prove that the case has any relation whatsoever to terrorism or a foreign power. That means you don't have to be an Al-Qaeda member. This is, in effect, a carte blanche for the government to use every method at their disposal to spy on any American citizen they choose. If you recall, my friends, especially if you've finally broken through your hopenosis, that Obama swept into office on a mandate of change and a commitment to restore liberties that were eviscerated under the Bush regime. Despite promising to do so, he has failed completely to overturn Bush signing statements and executive orders that, according to Obama, trampled on liberties, end quote. Indeed, despite promising to end the use of signing statements, he has continued to use them. Obama has failed to close Guantanamo Bay or any other CIA torture black site, as he promised to do. Obama has failed in his promise to reject the Military Commissions Act and instead has supported the use of military commissions. Obama has continued to allow the rendition of torture of detainees while protecting Bush administration officials who ordered torture, protecting them from prosecution, and blocking the release of evidence related to torture. Obama has gone even further than Bush in introducing preventative detention of detainees, ensuring people could never get a trial. In restating his support for warrantless wiretapping of American citizens, Obama has once again proven that his promise of change was nothing more than a hollow and deceptive political platitude to ensure his election. Since he took office, Obama has betrayed almost every promise he made and effectively become nothing more than the third term of the Bush administration.
Hi, this is Jessalyn Radek of the Government Accountability Project, and we just learned this week that President Obama is planning on extending three provisions of the Patriot Act, or one might call it the Unpatriotic Act, which are due to expire in December. These three provisions deal with roving wiretaps, business records, and lone wolf provision. The problem right now with the roving wiretaps under the current Patriot Act are that they are John Doe roving wiretaps, not necessarily connected to any person or any particular phone, which could easily target phones of innocent Americans. The problem with business records is that it's not only business records, it's your library records, and it's your credit history. And there are no kind of minimization procedures to leave out information that the government over-collects and or collects on people who have no connection to terrorism whatsoever. And the lone wolf provision sounds like something out of Little Red Riding Hood, but really, this has never been used, and probably for a good reason should not be used, because it would target people who are out there acting on their own without having any connection whatsoever to a foreign government or a terrorist organization. So you could have any black helicopter tinfoiler person out there who's mad at the government, but otherwise completely harmless, who gets targeted. President Obama, back when he was a candidate, said that he had to go along with the Patriot Act and kind of gave a wink and a nod that, this needed to be done to get elected. I understand that. But he promised that once in office, he would give it a careful, meaningful review and would bring his constitutional expertise to bear. This extension of these three provisions is not doing that. Luckily, Senators Durbin and Feingold are supposed to drop a bill tomorrow that would help rectify a lot of the problems with these three provisions. So I urge your support for that. Thanks.
And I'm sure our good friends in Congress will really halt the renewal of these key Patriot Act provisions. So that video is embedded up, pretty much breaks it down, except for her stupid little comment about black helicopters and tinfoil hats. So we all know black helicopters don't exist. They haven't been documented on MediaMonarchy.com over the last couple years, performing terror drills over Portland, Oregon, or Denver, Colorado, or New Orleans, Louisiana, or Washington, D.C. Sidebar note, there's a comment at the bottom of this post from my man Steve from here in Portland, Oregon. He's become a fan of the show and of the website, and I appreciate all his kind words. Got to meet him at Ground Zero Lounge here in Portland, Oregon, for Clyde Lewis in the Ground Zero Lounge. Again, also available on ZeroPointRadio.com, as well as the great chat room. So, hat tip and welcome aboard to my man Steve, who is also in a band called Strange Letter, and you can check it at StrangeLetter.net. Moving on, however, into the latest updates on Obamasiah and the Apostles of War. It's an ugly list of headlines dealing with, among other things, the Council on Foreign Relations, ACORN, rhetoric, and race war. First, from the Washington Post, Obama calls on young adults to back health care reform. This basically paints him as knowing that the support among mainline middle-aged middle America is pretty much gone. He's going to 18-year-olds for support. To the Obama youth, if you will. And they can't wait to join the civilian National Security Force. A note from CNSNews.com. Washington Post ignores their own poll finding that shows that 54% of people polled say the more they learn of Obamacare, the less they like it. Race creeps into U.S. healthcare debate. That's from Reuters. And that should come as no surprise, along with all the strange developments in the cyberspace war world. Coming with Obama is also everybody's top card on their deck is the race card. An interesting question from PsychologyToday.com, although I'm loath to give them a link, since they, of course, posted an article recently about conspiracy theorists being crazy, insane. You're insane. If you want to know what the 9/11 whistleblowers are talking about, you're crazy. You're nuts. And because they're Psychology Today, they can call you that. Who took the picture of Joe Uli Wilson and how? They're asking the question. There seems to be such a great posed shot for some event that was supposedly not premeditated. An interesting question. However, in the race from race, Democrats rebut Jimmy Carter, saying that Joe Wilson is racist. So Jimmy Carter ratchets up the debate, and the regular Dems go, hey, whoa, hey, easy, whoa there. Taking count of Obama's czars, lawmakers rise up. That's from the LA Times, and we'll just see how high they rise. Obama names another globalist with tax problems to his administration. The IMF's Charles Collins has been appointed to a Department of Treasury post. Obama last Monday named International Monetary Fund Deputy Research Director Charles Collins, that's C-O-L-L-Y-N-S, as the U.S. Treasury's new Assistant Secretary for International Finance. As the number two official in the Treasury's International Affairs section, Collins will be responsible for representing the Treasury's interest among multilateral financial institutions such as the IMF, World Bank, and International Development Banks. Again, their constituents, their base, the banksters, the IMF, the World Bank. Charles Collins will report to the nominee for Undersecretary for International Affairs, Lael Brainard, whose nomination is still being vetted by the Senate Finance Committee. The Wall Street Journal reported last week that a nomination hearing for Brainard was being held up by an inquiry regarding her personal taxes. A spokesman, or rather a spokeswoman, for the panel's ranking Republican, Senator Charles Grassley, declined to confirm a tax inquiry and said only that the vetting process was still underway. Political debate over health care reform has diverted the committee's attention and resources away from nomination hearings. So I guess this was slightly misleading. It's not Charles Collins who has the tax problems. It's Lael Brainard. Well, so one's got tax problems and the other one's coming from the IMF. So you're pretty much screwed coming and going. The House votes to end federal funding for Acorn. We've got reports from the Washington Post as well as the Washington Times. House joined Senate in cutting Acorn funding. The House of Representatives voted overwhelmingly Thursday to end all federal funding for the liberal community activist group Acorn. The latest blow to the embattled organization since videos surfaced last week that showed its workers counseling a supposed prostitute on how to cheat on taxes and loan applications.